We're going to let this be the end of our series on the parables. Not that that's the end of the parables, but we're just going to be the end of the series on the parables. But in this section of Matthew's Gospel, the subject here that Matthew deals with is that of holiness, Matthew the 20th chapter. And in this chapter, Jesus told a parable about the workers in the vineyard. And this parable teaches some great principles about the kingdom of God, and it also teaches us something about the kind of attitude that we should have at work. You know, the key players in this parable are disgruntled workers. And some of the people who are overworkers may think that that term is redundant. You know, in the movie Raising Arizona, an FBI agent is interviewing a business owner who has been the victim of a crime. And they ask him, "Do you have any disgruntled employees?" And the business owner says, "They're all disgruntled. I'm not running a daisy farm." You know, well, a lot of people who own businesses who have been employers feel that way, that they're all their employees are terminally unhappy and perpetually disgruntled. You know, and you know what? A lot of pastors feel that way about many church members, that they suffer that same affliction. You know, they're terminally unhappy, they're perpetually disgruntled. There's a lot of married people that feel that way about their spouse. You know, no matter what happens, you'll find something to be unhappy about. Well, here's something to remember, and it applies to your relationships, it applies to your job, it applies to your ministry, it applies to your spiritual life, it applies to every other area of life. Being perpetually disgruntled drains the energy out of your existence, and it robs you of the joy that should be yours. And the most empowering thing that you can do is to get gruntled. That's got to be a word, isn't it? If there's a word disgruntled, the opposite of that must be gruntled, you know. But you get the point here that we need to revolutionize every aspect of our life. So let's take a look at this parable in Matthew, the 20th chapter. Beginning with verse 1 here, that's always a good place to start. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." Let's stop there for a second. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which wasn't a bad pay for a day's work. The men that were being hired were day laborers. They were on the bottom rung of the socioeconomic class at this point. They didn't have regular jobs. So every day they went to the marketplace hoping a business owner would hire them for a day. And a denarius was a good day's pay. And it was the same wage that a Roman soldier received. So from the very beginning, the landowner was offering these workers a very good deal. You know, and then moving on, about the third hour, he went out and he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. Verses 5 and 6 then. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard." Now, a comment about the workers hired later in the day here. You don't misinterpret their standing around here. Yeah, they weren't being idle. They weren't being lazy. They were doing all that they could do to get hired. They were waiting in the marketplace for a landowner to come by and to offer them a job for the day. And if they were lazy, of course, they would have just gone on home. And but they stayed in the marketplace all day long because they really wanted to have the work. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Well, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money, or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, one lesson, of course, that this parable teaches us about, of course, it teaches about God's grace. Now, we could go on and we could talk and use and develop the whole theme of God's grace from this particular parable, and that would be good. Everyone who comes to Him is accepted on the same level and is given the same salvation. Every believer receives that same salvation, the same promise of eternal life. There are some other lessons, though, that we can learn from this parable. And as I mentioned earlier, that teaches us something about the kind of attitude that we ought to have in our work, in our life, in our ministry, in our home life, and on. You know, there are four attitude adjustments here that I want us to take a look at. And if you'll make these adjustments, you'll not only see a difference in yourself here, but your boss, your co-workers, your spouse, everyone else around you will notice this too. The first attitude adjustment is this. If you get what you agreed to, accept it with gratitude. If you get what was agreed to, accept it with gratitude. You know, in this parable, the workers who were hired first agreed to work a full day for what? For one denarius. Good pay for a day's work. And at the end of the day, they got exactly what they had bargained for. You know, a day's pay for a day's labor. And that should have been the end of it. But that wasn't, because some of the workers got a better deal than they did. Let me tell you something. No matter what you do, there will always be someone who has a better deal than you. Someone who makes more money for what appears to be the same type of work. Someone whose working conditions are a little more favorable than yours. Someone whose job requirements are a little less demanding than yours. And on and on. You know, if you're getting what you agreed to, accept it with gratitude. We need to approach our jobs and our ministries and our marriages with a sense of wonder, a sense of appreciation, a sense of recognition of what God's blessing our lives. We have this sense of gratitude. And if you're prone to being disgruntled, there will always be someone who's got a better deal than you. So strive to be grateful for the situation that you've got. Now, second, and this is closely related here to the first principle, is focus on what you should be doing and not what others should be doing. Focus on what you should be doing and what others should be doing. You see, the workers who were hired first became disgruntled because, as we've already seen, they weren't happy with the deal that was given to the new workers. And their unhappiness can be traced to a critical attitude, of course, toward their employer. They didn't like the way that he was running the business. They wanted to tell him who to hire and when and how to spend his money. And they forget a crucial truth that many workers forget. The boss is the boss. And he can spend his money the way that he wants to spend his money. And he can run his business the way that he wants to run his business. If you have a job, if you work for an individual or a company, I can guarantee this, from time to time, your boss will make decisions that you disagree with. He or she may hire people that you don't think should be hired. He or she may introduce product lines that you don't think are profitable. He or she may implement procedures that you think are nothing but a waste of time. And when that happens, you got to remember who's the boss and who's the employee and who gets to make those decisions. Now, you can be focused on doing your job well, or you can be focused on how those around you are doing their jobs. But you can't be focused on both and still be effective in your life. And the movie Amadeus is, of course, about the composer Mozart, and it's narrated by a particular character who had aspired to be a great composer. But he couldn't get past his jealousy of Mozart. And so instead of developing his own craft, he raged at God for bestowing such talent on such an unworthy person as Mozart. And instead of working to develop his own talents, all he could spend his entire life trying to do it was to rail against the works of Mozart and rail against God, because he thought the talent was wasted in Mozart. If you want to be effective in your work or in your ministry, then get your eyes off other people. Stop criticizing those in leadership and focus on doing your job well. After all, that's really all you got control over anyway, isn't it? The third attitude of judgment is this: don't begrudge another person's blessing. Don't begrudge another person's blessing. You know, the workers who were hired first got a good deal. It was a day's pay for a day's labor. The workers who were hired last got an incredible deal. You know, they pay far beyond what they expected, far beyond the normal circumstances. And clearly, this is a one-time event. Obviously, the landowner cannot do business like this every day, or else the word would get out, and soon no one would be willing to work all day. Now, everyone would want to be hired at the end of the day. The landowner couldn't be so generous every day, but on this particular day, on this particular occasion, he chose to be. And those who are at last benefited, of course, from his generosity. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes someone else gets a blessing and you don't. Someone is on the receiving end of your generosity and you're not. And when that happens, here's how to respond. Be glad for them. Celebrate with them. Share in their joy. It's not every day that a blessing like this comes along. And when it does, let them enjoy it. Sometimes other people receive a windfall. And sometimes they get a blessing out of nowhere. They receive it and you don't. It doesn't happen every day, so when it happens, let them enjoy it and be glad with them. The fact is that you receive your own windfall from time to time. You get your own undeserved blessings sometimes, but we have a tendency not to count those as much as we count the ones that others get, because we think those are the ones that we should have received. Well, let me tell you something. Begrudging the blessing that others receive will not increase the number of blessings in your life. Nor will it diminish their blessing. All it does is make you miserable. So when the people around you get more than you deserve, appears that they deserve, be happy with them. Again, this is something that people who are involved in ministry must keep in mind, especially pastors. Some pastors work hard and they see little growth. And other pastors seem to experience explosive growth from day one. And it doesn't always seem fair, but that's just the way that it happens sometimes. Resenting someone else's success does not increase your own prospects for success. So when someone else gets a blessing from out of nowhere, don't begrudge them. Congratulate them and share in their joy. Now, we've looked at three principles that we can learn from the workers who were hired first. But for the next principle, I want us to look at from the perspective of those who were hired last. No matter what happens, position yourself for possibilities. No matter what happens, position yourself for possibilities. You know, as I mentioned earlier, these were day laborers, the lowest class of worker in their society. They didn't have regular jobs. Every day they were dependent upon landowners to hire them to work for one day at a time. And in this parable, some of these men went to the marketplace early in the morning seeking employment, and they were not hired. And so what did they do? Did they say, it looks like I don't have any luck today, so I might as well go home? No. They continued to wait in the marketplace, even though they were standing around doing nothing, according to the scripture here. They weren't avoiding work. They are waiting for the opportunity to work. And that's why they remained in the marketplace, just in case someone came along later in the day willing to hire more workers. These men knew that if they went home, they would never get hired. But if they stayed at the marketplace, just maybe someone would offer them a job for the day. And even a few hours of pay was better than no pay at all. And so they kept themselves positioned for possibilities. And what happened? Well, they got more than they could have hoped for, I guarantee you. You know, they got a full day's pay for a brief stint of work. But keep yourself positioned for possibilities. If you give up and you quit as soon as it looks like you're not going to get the breaks that you need, you close the door on the good things that could happen in your life. Make sure that you're always in a position where God can bless you. Even when it's late in the day and it seems like everyone's getting hired but you, stay in the marketplace. Keep yourself available in case God chooses to call on you in the 11th hour. Holiness at work, in your job, in your area of ministry is expressed through an attitude of generosity to those who you work with. It's an attitude that says, it's okay if God blesses you more than He blesses me, because He has already given me more than I deserve. And once you take your eyes off of everyone else, and you get focused on what you're supposed to be doing, that's when you open the door for God to bless you in a great way.